Okay. Rabbi Zucker asked me yesterday, the substitute to him tonight, I asked him what the share was usually in. He told me it's a share in partially halakha. I think he said they were going to the special, and then partially on the parts of the week. That since this happened yesterday, I didn't have enough time to go and prepare anything on the official, and I didn't really have anything prepared on this particular parsha. But what I will do is follow the general format. I will discuss Chumash, and I will discuss Halacha, and Halacha in the context of the Chumash. So hopefully I will live up to the high standards that he, I know, says. What I'd like to do is tonight is demonstrate how midrashim work. And we all know there are midrashim, and Rashi brings down midrashim. There's Midrash Rava, there's Tanchuma, there's Midrash HaGadol, there are midrashim in the Gemara, all kinds of midrashim. If you all know, if you read Rashi, although most of the time, almost all the time, Rashi's midrashim have a source somewhere in Tanchuma or in Midrash Rabbah. Seldom is the Midrash exactly word for word the way Rashi presented. Rashi usually has a couple of words that are different here and there, and sometimes the difference in his words makes significant difference in what it means. Whether Rashi has a different text, or Rashi perhaps is altering the text, I don't know. I'm not a historian. But this is the type of thing that I want to discuss tonight. Okay, so I am going to discuss the first pasuk in Parshas Pekudei, right at the end of Shmos. It's on page 230 for those of you who have the same commotion. And for the last couple of parshas, the Chumash has been presenting the instructions to build a Mishkan, how to build a Mishkan, the different talim in the Mishkan, all kinds of instructions about the Mishkan. And now in Parshas Pekudei we have the accountant's audit of the entire process. So the first pasuk says, Eilu Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEilus. Right? Here is what was involved in the Mishkan HaEilus. He calls it Mishkan of Eilus, the Mishkan of Testimony. Why is the Mishkan called Mishkan HaEilus? It's a Mishkan. It was never called HaEilus before. This is the Mishkan HaEilus. What does the word Eilus connote? Okay, and the whole shiur tonight will be on that word. So I will read to you a Gaza Canaan Balatosis, which is right on this pasuk. In every standard of the Christ of Eilus Kavashim, you'll see this Dazikea. Dover Acha, there are many Pshatim. Dover Acha, Shehoya Eidus L'Moshe. This was testimony for Moshe. The Mishkan was testimony for Moshe. Ki B'Shor SheChashduhu SheGon HaShkolen in Melechet HaMishkan. It was suspicion that Moshe stole some Shkolen from the Mishkan. That when people made contributions, Moshe siphoned off some of the funds that were donated. Amalah and Moshe, so Moshe said, HaMishkan Eidus. I want the Mishkan to testify that every single thing that was contributed is accounted for. That there was no surplus, that every single thing was used. V'chazru umana. And they went and they did an audit. And here is how much came in, here is where it went, to show that there was nothing siphoned off. But there was a suspicion, and it seems that there was a discrepancy. He doesn't clarify what the discrepancy was, but there was a discrepancy. Umatsu, and eventually they found the missing silver. There was silver missing. Shahushmu bevovin la'amudim. If you remember, there was the Mishkan was in the middle, and then there was a large courtyard, and then around the courtyard, there was beams, and there were curtains on these beams. The way the curtains were on the beams was they put hooks on these beams, and they cut the curtain and put it on the hooks. Those were silver hooks. And the missing funds, the missing silver that was unaccounted for, turned out to be on the hooks that held up the curtains that surrounded the entire courtyard of the Mishkan. That's where they found where it was. They found the missing, allegedly missing silver in the bottom of the Amudim, the Dorish light. And now the Dasha Kanan says, I'll give you the Pasuk that proves this. The Dorish light, the Limud, that this is correct, is the Pasuk of a Hamlocha Hoysadayim. If you take a look at Shmai Islamic Bob Zion, which is in Yochel Mashem on page 224, a couple of pages earlier, the last pasuk on the page, it says, after they did a count, all of the contributions were sufficient to build the Mishkan. In fact, there was even more. There was, what they had donated was sufficient to build the Mishkan, and there was even left over. Where is the indication here? Kach Rashi Tevis. Take the first words. I'll read it again. It says, V'hamlocha ha'isadayim. Kach Rashi Tevis. Take the first letters over there of each word. The Yalu Tes Bovin. And it will come to 15 Bovin. I'll go into detail in a minute. Somehow from this pasuk, he's going to deduce there was missing stuff. Kloma Tezvav Yosef, Umiyad Nosan Moshe Tezvav Shvachas. Once they recognized that the extra funds were in the 15 bovin, in these 15 hooks, Moshe gave Shvach to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. How did he give Shvach? Vehei, B'yishtava Shir Shvachas. If you finish Shabba, the Shir Shvach, the Halav Zimra, Oizu, Mishal, the Nes, and Dul of Gura, there are 15 words of Shvach. So Moshe said, Yishtaba, those 15 words of Shvach, connected the 15 Bovim that he had missed. Connected Tezbo Boruch, the Boruch Sha'omar. And then he said Boruch Sha'omar, because Boruch Sha'omar has 15 Boruchs in it. One Boruch for each of the Bovim. Uchnegdon Tezbo Bovin the Emes V'yatzeh. In Emes V'yatzeh, the Nochem, the Kayin, the Yosher, the first 15 words start with Bov. So, each one of these, the thing that was extra was the 15 Bovin. So he said, three Divrei Shir. One was Yishtabot, because there's 15 words of praise of God. Then he said, Bo Sha'omah, because there are 15 Boruchs. And then he said, V'yatzeh, the Nochem, the Kayin, because there are 15 words starting with one. Okay. That's the Daza Kedem Balafeshtas. I would like now to sit down and analyze what he's saying. Okay? What he's saying and what he's saying here. Ostensibly, the motivating factor was the word Avis, right? But he's developed a whole story over here. What is this story all about that he's developing? Okay. Now, this year Rabbi Zucker gave me a present. He gave me the Chumash Parash Shleima. It's basically is a compilation of almost all the drashim that you will find on all Pesukim. And what the Daza Kanan brings down is a no medrash. Whatever this is not a medrash. Okay? So this is no, as far as I know, these words that the Daza Kanan just said. Now he said he told a story. People arise from a pasuk. He said about Shir Shvach, he said all kinds of things. This is not in a medrash. Verbatim, as he says it. There is a Tanhuma that says something like what he said. So what I'll read to you is the Tanhuma, and then we're going to try to see where he differs from the Tanhuma, why he differs from the Tanhuma, and what's the significance in what he says. Here's the Tanchuma. The Tanchuma on this Pasuk says, Amma Masha. The Dajakan. This Dajakan, again, Rashi, the Dajakan, and most of the time when the Rishonim are quoting, they're not just going to make up a story, so they're going to quote a Medrash. There must be a Medrash to this effect. So I'm going to show you the closest Medrash that I have found to this effect, and we'll see how this Medrash differs from what he actually said. Amar Moshe. Moshe said, here's the Medrash. Here's the Medrash from Kulam. Yedei ani Yisrael roi b'nei. I know, I understand that the Jews like to fight. They like to complain. Hareini oishlem cheshbim mikol melechas ha-mishkan. I'm going to do an audit. In the version of the Zazakanim, it was already suspicious. No, he said, Moshe says proactively, I don't want to have any fights later on. Let's do an audit and let's identify where everything went. His kolash says cheshbim imorah. He began to make a cheshbim. Eilu b'kudei ha-mishkan. V'hunosh lehem cheshbim al kodolo b'dolo. And he made a cheshbim. Lazor, lakeshah, how much choices, how much gold, how much silver, how much copper. The keshet, the kudia eidah ma'atkika, and how much keshet he has was 100 kikar, he's a measure. The elef ishra meyash. If you take a look, this is a pasuk in, if you, if you take a look at page 231, Parak Lamed Ches Pasuk, let's say 230, Pasuk Chav Hey. The Keshet Bekudia Eda Ma'as Kika, how much Keshet did he accumulate? Ma'as Kika, 100 Kika, the Ela V'Shrameyos V'Chamisha V'Shit and Shekel V'Shekel V'Chodesh, and 1775 Shkolen. Not 100 Kika, which is a large amount, and then they score on 1775 and change. Right? She comes to that pasuk, and he comes with the shock of, where did the 1775 go? He can't identify what he did with 1775. See, he's doing this cheshbon because he's trying to show that everything is accounted for, and he identifies his zohar, he identifies his precious. He identified where the 100 kika goes, and then he had 1775 shkolim of silver. He can't figure out what he did with that. Okay? Shokach elav v'shvameyesh v'chamish shevel v'shosmen bovin l'amudin v'loy hoyenirin. The reason he didn't identify it is because couldn't see the hooks. Where are these hooks? Where are these hooks? They're in the beams and covered up by curtains. So he couldn't see them. So he's going around, okay, I see the silver here, I see the gold here, I see what this there. But when it came to the 1775, where are these? He can't see them. He has no idea where they are. Hiskel Aina came of Yonah. He sat there and he's wondering, now people will have an excuse to say, I need a talti item. I took the money. And he's going over it again and again and again. Where did the silver, the 1775 shkolim, go? God opened his eyes. And as he's fearing, he said, oh, now I got it. I remember. It was the hooks over there. The Tola Eino Barosh Ayasuyim Bovin Lamudim, and he realized it was in the hooks. His to the Hush of the Kolom, so if you take a look on the top of the page, there's the Elif Hashamesh HaChamisha Shibmosu Bovin Lamudim. Right? So first he said there was 1775. He couldn't figure out where they were. Couldn't figure out where they were. Why? Because couldn't see them. Could identify them and God, because they were covered up. When he realized it after some further reflection, he realized what they were there, and therefore he says this pasuk, And this pusuk exonerates him. That, oh, you know where the 70, 75 is, it's the hooks over there that are on the board. Now, what's the comparison between the relationship between how the Dazik Canaan said it and how the Medrash Tanhuma said it? In both cases, there's some type of suspicion of something being taken away, right? In the case of the Medrash Tanhuma, how much is from the... In the Medrash Tanhuma, it's 1775, right? The entire 1775, which was used to make all of the vavim, right? Now, what are these vavim? I know, again, I was on short notice, but this is a picture. I'm sorry, I'll show it to the table. So this is a picture of the outer courtyard, right? There are beams, right? And every one of these beams had a hook attached to it and a curtain surrounding it. Now, if you notice, there are a lot of beams there. There aren't 10, 15 beams. There are lots of beams there. And this is, accurately, there's many beams that there were. This is based on the Chumash's presentation. There were lots of beams, right? But the Dazik Canaan seems to only be concerned with 15. There's a problem with 15. So what's the problem? According to the Chumash, did he realize they were Vavim, or didn't he realize they were Vavim? If he didn't realize they were in the Vavim, then he doesn't know what happened to the entire 1775. Right? Right? If he does know what happens to them, then he knows what happened to them. They were made into vavim. What's the 15 that he seems to be harping on? No, it's how much sense what he did with the silver. No. So as he made each keli, he wrote down how much his silver required. There. He recorded everything. He did it. Right. Right. No. He didn't. Remember, the silver was 100 kikar, which is a tremendous amount, and an additional 1,775 shkolim, which is much less. It's a minimal amount, right? There's 1,500 shkolim to a kikar. So there were hundreds of thousands of shkolim of silver. He couldn't account for everything. Not yet, that's what it says in the Chumash. It says, that's what they made out of them. They made hooks for their Amudim. Excuse me? Yeah, the Amudim are hooks for the Amudim. That's Shkolim. That's a silver weight. That's how much silver. So the question is, in the presentation of the Tanhuma, it's clear what the problem was. He didn't know what he did with the 1775. And we know why he didn't know what he did with the 1775. He didn't know because he couldn't see and it slipped his mind. That's the presentation. Here, he seems to be focusing on 15 bovin. 15 bovin is only a small amount of the 1775. Did he know he made bovin or didn't he know he made bovin? In the Tanhuma's presentation, as soon as he said, and I did 1775 into bovin, he was happy. Here, he's not happy with that. He needs a pusuk in Parshas Vayakel in order to exonerate himself. What's going on here? What's the extra thing? Why does the Dazik Canaan get this point out? A second point. Let's go back. Which pusuk did he point to prove his point? What was the remez? The remez was on the pusuk on page 224, the bottom pusuk. Let me read it to you. Here's where you need your pencil and paper. Here is the bottom pasuk. The bottom pasuk said, and here's the words here. Kach Tavis, take the first letters. I'll start with you. Mevam locha hoitzadayim. Kach Roshin Tavis, take the first letters. v'yalu, and it will equal tes bov bovin. Now, do the first letters, first of all, when you say take the first letters, take the first letters of what? Which words? So just of the first three words. Just take the first letters of the first three words. V'hamlochad is a vav. Hoysor is a hey. Dayon is a dalet. That's 15. Right? Right? 6, 5, and 4 is 15. The yala, and it will equal tezvo bovin. Does that equal tezvo bovin? That equals 15. It doesn't equal 15 bovin. What do you mean 15 bovin? When do you get a 15 bovin? It equals 15. 6, 5, and 4 is 15. Right? He says, the yala, you will get 15 bovin. You don't get 15 bovin. You get 15. Good. So I have a pasuk. I took the first three letters of this pasuk, the first three letters, the first letter of the first three words, got a 15 out of it, and somehow this justifies 15 bovin. Okay, I'll concede the 15. Where's the bovin coming from? So, if I'm hearing you correctly, you're interested now. So you want to stick in extra words, fine. Now, the other choice is, yeah, one second, I'll explain what he said. I think I'll explain what he said. He said, look at this pasuk, right? He didn't say, look at the first three letters of the pasuk, the first three words of the pasuk. The Hamlochah Shadayim happens to be the first three words of this pasuk, right? Look at this pasuk. Take the first words of the first letter of every word in this pasuk, which will be a vav, a hey, a dalet, a lamed, a hey, a lamed, an aleph, and a vav. And how much do you get? 87. That's why you have pencil and paper. 87. Is 87 equal to tes vav bovin? How much is tes vav bovin? Tes vav is 15. Vav is 6. 6 times 15. 6 times... Huh? 6 tes vav vav. 16 vav. 16 times... 15 times 6. Which is... close but not to God. You need 87. You've only got 87. Okay. Very good. So AJ says, okay, even better. So AJ, and what's your name? Three. So AJ and Three says, no. Don't do tes vovin 15 vovs, 15 sixes. Do 15 and the spelling of the word vovin. Vovin is vov, vov, yud, nun. Right? Bovin above is, bovin above is 12, the yud is, that's 22, the nun is 72, right? And tes vav is 15, is 87. So, the first letters of this pasuk equal the spelling of the word tes vav bovin. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Now, it's a rather interesting way to do a gematria, but it fits. Okay? Good. So we have three possibilities. We have possibility number one, that he may just take the first three words and you'll get 15. And the bovin you'll have to supply in your own. Right? The second possibility, he may take the first letters, 87, and you're in the ballpark, which is a difficult child. Or what seems to be really nice is that the number, the 87, the equivalent of it, is exactly equal to the equivalency of the word spelled out as above it. Okay, so of those three, which one do you prefer? Number three, right? Number three is a beautiful thing. Okay. So one of the things I am going to try to... this number is the number 90. So, right, 90 is a pretty common number. 90 is a nice number. My field is mathematics, everything quantitative. 90 is a nice round number. A lot of things go into 90. Even if you don't have exactly 90, I got about a 90 on the test. I would say, if I got an 87, I probably would say I got about a 90. You know, you can stretch it a little bit. Right? 87 is like, really, you know, if you're giving me 87, that's precise. Right? So, one of the things we're going to look for, is there any significance to the number 87? We got a gematria. And as you both pointed out, the gematria works. Tezvavavin and Davahaisa, wonderful. And what's even better is what's the last word of the person? Bahosa. And it was left over. 15 bovin left over. Right? So it's a beautiful thing. Right? So what we're going to look for is what is the significance of the number of 87? Is there anything else that anybody knows where the number 87 comes into play? So we have to figure out, first of all, what's these 15 that were left over? What does that mean? Right? He says there were 15 left over. What does it mean? Right? That's number one. And number two, is there any significance to this gematria of 87? Okay. Now, what did Moshe do in response once he realized? So according to the Tanchuma, he said, 1775 are Bob and Lamu, and he's all happy. Because that was the whole problem, because he didn't know where they were. According to the Daika Kanan, what he was happy about was he identified 15 extra Bobin, right? And therefore, what did he do? He said the 15 phrases of Yishtava, right? Are there 15 phrases in Yishtava? You're sitting here. Anybody want to count? Or you can use it in your hand. Shabbat is something that you say every day. Yeah, 15. He's correct. There are 15 Shabbos in the Shabbat. Wonderful. Are there 15 Bobin in the Emes Miyasa? Miyasa is often, not the Emes Miyasa. Wonderful. Okay, now. What's the third one? Are there 15 Baruchs in Baruch Shomer? Turns out, no. There are 13 Baruchs in Baruch Shomer. There are 15 Baruchs in Baruch Shomer. There are 13. Okay? What's he talking about? Why did he say 15? Hello, 15. Take a look. In any Siddur. Now, by the way, we have... Okay, how about here are different versions of Baruch Shomer, right? We have an Ashkenaz version of Baruch Shomer, and we have a Sephardic version of Baruch Shomer. Same amount of Baruch. They're almost exactly the same. Anybody know what the Rambam's Baruch Shomer? The Rambam has a totally different Baruch Shomer than we have. Rambam in the first Chelek, At the end of Ahava, the Rambam has Tfilas for Kol Hashana, and he has Baruch Shomer there. And he has a Baruch Shomer that is considerably different than the Baruch Shomer that we have. Okay? And his Baruch Shomer has 12 Baruchs. So any known Baruch Shomer that we have, I'm not aware of any Baruch Shomer that has... It's every Baruch Shomer is either the Ashkenaz and Sephardic one that we're all familiar with, and or the Rambam, which has 12. None that I know of has 13. I'm sorry, none that I know of has 15. Right? What did he mean when he said there are 15 Baruchs in Baruch Shomer? Okay. Now, is it possible that there's another version of Baruch Shomer that has 15? Well, so here's where we start getting to Shulchan Aruch. If you take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan, and you'll see that the Acharonim talk about Bor Sha'omah. Bor Sha'omah was a very special tefillah. And they talk about Bor Sha'omah has 13 boros. And why it has 13 boros? And it says, for example, the Aruch HaShulchan, there's two reasons. One reason is connected to Yud Gimel Midas. So there's one bor for each of the Yud Gimel Midas. Right? Which wouldn't fit according to the Rambam because he had only 12. Okay? The other reason he gives is, if you take a look, you know, when we daven in the morning, I mean, most of us daven in a rush to go somewhere, right? So we figure somebody put together a couple of things here in the morning for us to say, right? But actually, the things that were chosen and how they put it together were chosen carefully. So if you take a look in what we call Pesukei de Zimra, what do we have in Pesukei de Zimra? We have Haidu in Pesukei de Zimra. We have Mizmashir in Pesukei de Zimra. Yehi Chavod. If you take a look, you'll see there are 13 different Mizmara in Pesukei de Zimra. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that you have 13 boroughs. Because it's the introduction for Pesukei de Zimra. If it's the introduction for Pesukei de Zimra, you want to have one baruch for each one of the prayers that we have in Pesukei de Zimra. Now, AJ is looking very closely at the tefillah, and as they say in the Yeshiva Shabbat, one could ding on, the Aruch HaShulchan tells you exactly how he came up with 13. One could disagree how he counts the 13. But that's what he says. Down at 12. Right? Well, when you take a look at the Rambam Pesukei de Zimra, the Rambam Pesukei de Zimra was not the same as our Pesukei de Zimra. The Rambam said they didn't necessarily say Oz Yashir. Some said Oz Yashir after Yishtabach. Some of them said Parshas Hazinu. I mean, so Pesukei de Zimra was not yet completely fixed at that period in time, so there was some flexibility in what it was. Okay. Be it as it may, all of the Mepharshim are talking about that, but there's something significant to the fact of how many boros you have here. And it's not 15. If that's the case, what is the Baal Shem Tov talking about? Where did he get 15 boros out of here? Okay? Everyone with me? Okay. I'm going to try to answer all of this within 20 minutes. Okay. I will start with the 15 Vavim. Okay? We have 15 Vavim. How much silver do we have to make these Vavim? How much silver do we have available? 1775. So write down 1775. Okay. Now, are we going to assume that all the bovin were made identically? Is that a fair assumption? Yeah. Like I have bigger bovin and little bovin. We're going to assume that all bovin are exactly the same, right? Moreover, I'll assume that all the bovin had an integer amount of shkolim. And you're not going to put 1.5 into it or 3/4. You're going to be 1, 2, 3, 4, right? Okay. I'd like you to tell me, if based on what I just told you, based on the rules, that I'm only going to use it, every bulb will be exactly the same size, right? And every bulb would use only an integer amount of shkolim. How many bulbs did they have? Well, let's see. If each one had one shekel, so how many bovin would you have? 1775. Would it make sense for them to have made 1775? You had to put one up on each of those beams, right? You don't have many beams, we're going to make 1775, that's crazy. Right? You could do 5 apiece, right? How do you determine the different answers? Anybody know how to do that? What's the mathematics? How do you determine the integer values? Excuse me? Every number can be written as a multiplication in primes in one and only one way. Anybody know what that means? Anybody remember those words? What's a prime number? But that's why everything comes into play. What's a prime number? A number that's only divisible by one in itself. Correct? Now, every number can be written as a multiplication of primes. If I want to write that as a multiplication of primes, I can do it in only one way. Right? The number 24. Right? What's 24? As primes. There's 2. Right? You have 2. 2 is a prime. What are the primes that go into 24? 2. Right? 3. Is that right? 4 is not a prime. Right? Right? You have 3 2s and a 3. 2, 2, 2, and 3. 2 times 2 times 2 times 3 is 24. Right? There's no other way you can write 24 as a multiplication. It could be 8 times, it could be 8 times 3, 6 times 4, but that's not multiplication of primes. You can write numbers as multiplications in many different ways, but as multiplication of primes, there's only one way to do it. Right? The primes, the numbers that go into 24 are 2 and 3, right? So you take 3 of the 2s and a 3, and you're going to get it. Okay. It turns out, and those of you, I don't have that much time to do it now, and I don't have the slide to show it. If you do it, here's how much you can have. You can have one shekel, in which case you'd have 375. You can make it out of 5 shkolim. Each bulb would have 1775. You can make it out of 5 shkolim for each hook, 355. You can make it out of 25 shkolim. You have 71 hooks. You could make it 71 shkolim, in which case there'd be 25 hooks. Anyway, correct. Now, how many poles were there? I showed you the picture. I showed you the picture before. If you take a look at the picture, if you take a look at the picture, the chotzer, it's not the chotzer, the surrounding chotzer. There are 20 over here. There are 20 boards along this direction. There are 20 boards in that direction. There are 10 in the back, and there, the opening where you came in, direction you came in, it was 10 amos wide, there were 3 beams on the left, 3 beams on the right, and then an empty space in the middle so they could walk in. So totally you had 56 beams. No, 56 beams, if you look at the numbers that I just told you a minute ago, you need 56 hooks. Right? So you're going to make some, you have to have at least 56 hooks, or you won't have enough hooks. The number that's closest to 56 is, you make 25 of each, which gives you 71 hooks. But you only needed 56, or 15 extra. Excuse me? Very close. Well, it's 56. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. These are the boards, right? Beams, they're beams. Right. That's what the stuff on the cell gap, right? And each beam has one hook, which gives you 56 hooks. There's the 20. Okay. Again. That's correct. So that's the point. He's looking at the thing, at the hooks, and the hooks only equal 56, which doesn't account for the full 1775. He knew the hooks were there. Hey, one second. It's not the way the Tom Kuhlman said. He knew the hooks were there. But he's looking at the hooks, he has 56 hooks, right? So 56, that only accounts, so it accounts for 56 times 25, right? What happened to the rest of the thing? Well, hi, sir. He had made extra hooks. And the extra hooks he had on the side don't know, either for whatever he needed, if one of the hooks broke or something, would happen to use it. But those 15 hooks were not in the walls because they didn't need it. And that's what he couldn't remember. So not the way the Tanhuma learned it, that he couldn't see any of the hooks and he was missing the full 1775. What he was missing, well, he could account for 56 hooks. What happened? And he's looking at the hooks here. He's 56 hooks. That's 25 apiece for each of them. I'm still missing a considerable number of 15 hooks. Where he didn't see 15 hooks. I'm missing a certain amount. Then he figured, oh, wait a second, that's 15 hooks. I didn't need that. I put those in reserve in case something happens. So that's the 15 that he's going for. Yes, each hook. Correct. Remember, these were 10 arms high. Each of these big boards was 10 arms high, and you hooked a curtain on top of it. So it had to hold up something that could have been quite heavy. Correct. Right. No. It's not with prime numbers. Right. Because then you'll have a fractional amount. I said, if you assume that we're going to have a complete check, there'll be a unit number of skulls in each of the hooks. If you do that, you get a fraction. No. But what he's going to do is, so he, like this, he makes, okay, he says, listen, I see how many I need, he's 56. If I make an equal number for everyone and I use this, I'll have 50. Yes, that's correct. So I'll have 50 left over, and I can get them in some much. The Tanhuma's presentation is very simple and direct. For whatever reason, the Dr. Kainan is leaving it and going off into a different calculation. The question now, why he did it, we haven't decided yet. But we trust, before we figure out why he did it, what did he mean? And I'm trying to explain where he gets the 15 bogen. His presentation is, again, far different than the Tanhuma's. He knew there were bogen, he knew exactly, but he saw that those bogen only constituted a fraction of the 1775. What happened to the rest? The rest were 15 hooks that he had on the side that he had made for future use because he wanted to make all hooks the same size, and those were the 15. Okay. Now, let's take a look. Baruch Shama. Now, what is Baruch Shama? Baruch Shama is a tefillah that sandwiches, that is the beginning of Sukkot Zimra. It's the bracha that precedes Sukkot Zimra, and Yishtabach is the bracha that finishes Sukkot Zimra. Right? Where does bracha come from? Who made this bracha of Baruch Shama? Where did it come from? Now, what's the earliest we have? Well, I'll tell you what he said in a minute. What is the earliest we have indication that anybody said Baruch Shama? Anybody know? The earliest rendition that we have somebody somewhere where it said Baruch Shama written anywhere in the Gemara. No, Baruch Shama is nowhere in the Gemara. The earliest we know factually Baruch Shama was said was from Amram Goyim, 9th century. He had Baruch Shama, he said Baruch Shama. We have the Rif talking in the 11th century of Baruch Shama. So we know Baruch Shama was out there, but Baruch Shama was, as far as we know, certainly not in the Gemara anywhere, it was not an early bracha, right? It's a bracha that somewhere entered into the morning davening later, after Chasimus Hashash, right? Now, if you take a look at Hilchos Brachos, which is, unfortunately nowadays, when people want to learn halacha, what do they learn? What book do you read? What sefer do you read? Mishnah Berurah. Unfortunately, that's not the way you learn about the origins of halacha, because that's just a summary of what's going on. The real way to do it is you decide to skip the Gemara. You look at the Torah. You look at the Torah. You look at the Mishnah. You look at Shulchan Aruch. You look at the Taz. You look at Morgan Avraham. You look at how the Rishonim and the early Paiskim dealt with it. All the Mishnah Berurah is doing is giving you summaries of what everybody else said. Okay. The Torah, in Hilchos Brachos in the morning, discusses, we say, Chesed Sach Medina, right? Well, the whole bunch of them. There were other brachas that they had. Some people made their other brachas. And at one point, the Torah says, well, you know, some people are making this bracha. You can't make that bracha because that bracha is not mentioned in the Gemara. And any bracha that's not mentioned in the Gemara, you can't make that bracha. Where's that bracha come from? So brachas that are not cited in the Gemara, later on, you can't add brachas to the brachas that we have. That's the Pri Chodosh in Siman Nun Aleph. Where did Baruch Shama come from? Who made Baruch Shama? Baruch Shama is not in the Gemara anywhere. So it was like, what gives them the right to make Baruch Shama? Who gave anybody a right to make Baruch Shama? That's the question of the Pri Chodosh. Okay. To quote the Mishnah Berurah, to show that I have no hard feelings for the Mishnah Berurah. Let me quote the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says the following. Yes, that came in the 13th century, much later. The question is, who justified them for saying it? Okay. Here's the Prichodish's question. I'll read it here. I'm in Baruch Sha'oma. That's what the Mechaba says. We read Baruch Sha'oma. To me, honey. Once the Talmud was completed, he's like, I'm really surprised that the Rosh should tell the Gabi Rosh is Pijanaben. By Pijanaben, there's a bracha in the Rosh. Where did that bracha come from? That's not in the Gemara. And here he had no problem with Baruch Shama. Why did he have a problem with Baruch Shama? Okay. I'll read you the Torah. This is the Torah's introduction to Baruch Sha'amah. Baruch Sha'amah Tzarecho Amrei B'nigun U'B'nima. Baruch Sha'amah should be said with a tune and sweetly. Ki Hushir Noah, the Nechman. It's a very beautiful song. The cause of this Seidah Hayachaylas, in the Sefer Hayachaylas it says, Sheyesh L'Bei Zayin Tevis. It has 87 words. Is that significant? Did 87 pop up anywhere else over here? The Siman. And there's a Siman. There's a pasuk in Tehillim which says, Roshay Kesem Paz. Roshay, at the beginning of the Sukkot in Zimra, say a tefillah that has Paz, that has 87 words. So he justifies it by making a remez in Tehillim for the 87. The Chenu Minit Ashkenazim. It's not only Sfaradim who have this. This is Ashkenazim. Viniskin Abracha Mizu. Mishum Hadi Isa Perakol Tisvei. Okay. The Mishnah Berurah goes beyond this. As Jesse said before, the Mishnah Berurah quotes a source that's not quite clear where it came from. He said, I'll read the English translation. This praise was fixed by the men of the great assembly. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah, from the Nala, there's an Anshik Nesis Hadailah, by a shard which fell from the heaven, which they discovered to have the prayer written on it. Something fell down from heaven, and on this thing that fell down from heaven, he had 87 words. And its simon is Rosh HaKesem Paz. Therefore, one should not detract or add to the 87 words. Kesem Paz. I'm not, it's just, all right, I'm not sure, you have to look up the Paz. Okay? So, we have here Baruch Shama, right? We have here, according to the Achrayim, the significance of Baruch Shama is that we have 87 words. The 87 words, in fact, are the justification of Baruch Shama. okay? Now let me go back and read the Dodgecanum to you again. Here's the Dodgecanum. The Dodgecanum stated, I suggest that there was an error in the Dodgecanum. I will read to you the correct words of the Dodgecanum. Here's what it said. V'hein v'yishtabach shir ishvacha v'chenegdon tezvod bovin v'dborah sh'omar v'chenegdon tezvod bovin v'yemes v'yasher. What does tezvod bovin mean? 8-7 words. The tezvod bovin of borah sh'omar is not the same as the tezvod bovin of v'yemes v'yasher. Though that means there's 15 words starting with bov. This is the play on the Tezvah from before. The editor looked at this and didn't find 15 vavs, so changed it to Baruch, right? Really shouldn't be Baruch, it should have been Tezvah Vavim. And exactly what you just said before, because the likelihood of 87 popping up here again and again and again, and now listen to the order. What order did the Dodgecanum say in? The first thing he said, the first thing he shot up, then he said, Brush Omar, and then he said, Emerson, why did, that's not the order in which we say it. He should have said Brush Omar first, then he should have said Yishtaba, and then he should have said the Emerson Yatsa. Right? The answer is that because the Tezvo Bovin are the same, both the last two have Tezvo Bovin. They mean different things, but they're connected because they're actually put first the 15 Shvaches of Brush of Yishtaba. And now I have two more that you have tested over. I'll stop here. It's a longer piece, but I'll stop there. Okay? Let me see.